This is exactly right.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm ghosted. Pyros Dresfalez.
Please.
Hey, boo. It's me, Roz. I am going to keep it pretty quick on this intro today because we have got a full episode with Kirsten Vangsnes, who you may know from the TV show Criminal Minds on CBS. She plays Penelope Garcia. And I love Kirsten and so happy to get to catch up with her and to talk to her about this stuff. And it's a really fun episode today. I don't have much to report anyhow from this week. One thing I could say is that I was watching on Netflix that TV show Haunted. Have you seen Haunted? I like Haunted. It's like a storytelling reenactment kind of show. And there was a season or two that came out within the past few years. And it's usually like someone that grew up in a haunted house or had some kind of thing that spanned a period of time with a paranormal entity of some sort. And it's like them sitting in a room telling their family as we see reenactments. But now there's a version that is the Latin American version. And it's in Spanish. I just started watching it and it's very scary. I mean, it's a reenactment show, so it can be like a little cheesy. But the stories, you come for the stories, and they are very good. So just, you know, if you're looking for something to watch, I thought I would throw that out there. On Patreon this week, I'm back talking about eBay dolls. And go check that out, patreon.com/RozDresFalez. That is on the first tier. And link is also in the description of this episode. And on my second tier, the bonus clip this week is actually that thing that I've started doing not that long ago where I like ask my guests about their thoughts on different paranormal things. It is that with Kirsten this week. So you can hear Kirsten talking about her thoughts on UFOs and Bigfoot and haunted dolls and all that fun stuff. So, without further ado, here is my chat with Kirsten Vangsnes. On with the show. Kirsten, how are you?
I know
it's a weird question.
No. The reason why, Roz, that it's a weird question is because I am doing wonderful. And I say this fully aware of my privilege and fully aware of that I am the exception to the rule, but I have found the last year, although heartbreaking and has cracked me open emotionally in many different ways, I have found it to be very expansive for my internal hologram. I feel like, you know, I keep being reminded of like before, you know, a caterpillar is a butterfly. They're just soup. They're just goo. And I feel like I've been goo for like a year now. I've got to explore the goo, which all of us have been forced to explore the goo. But I've been very lucky that both the environment in which I can goo explore and, and I'm just going to keep going with that metaphor. And also like just, you know, I'm lucky, you know, my mama is healthy and you know what I mean? Like all the people that I haven't had to go through this whole experience. I've gotten, you know, the heartbreak that I have incurred has happened from watching other people go through deep pain. And it has forced me to explore all of the limiting beliefs and the white violence that I have and inside of me and all this other, you know, my internalized homophobia, all this bullshit like that I've gotten to been lucky enough that those have been my journeys in the last year. So I'm great.
You know, that's a good way to look at it, though, because we were forced to do a lot of goo searching. And I imagine some people maybe, like, I know for me, I had so much searching of the goo and you know, lots of things I've just been ignoring for a yeah. long time because I was so busy. Yeah. And then I finally got to sit here and be like, okay, this is all horrible. I have nothing. I have no work. I have nothing to do. But also, I have to turn this into a good thing.
Yeah.
And I have to, what else am I going to do? I'll explode.
Exactly. Exactly. And I know for me, I'm, you know, you never know if you're an introvert, you know, let a pandemic happen and then you'll know if you're an introvert. I've always said I'm an introvert and people are like, no, you're not. I'm like, no, I am. I love being alone. And I fell in love during the pandemic with a stranger online. So like,
really?
Now I have like I met like the love of my life like 8 months ago. Yeah. And still I love being alone. Like I value, and it taught me something because I watched a lot of my friends. And I think it was also because, you know, growing up and you sort of use your extroversion or your introversion, I think, is maybe a crutch. And I've always used my introversion as a crutch. Like I was a real weirdo growing up and mm-hmm. always sort of have been and sort of outcasted. So I'm very comfortable. I had to befriend my own company because I only had my own company for long periods of time in my early childhood. So this was like an opportunity. I mean, it brought me to tears. It brought me to my knees emotionally. There were times, you know, I remember when the protests were happening and it was right by my house and smoke is, and there's, it just the noise was deafening. And I remember crying because I have never felt so safe inside my own body. Like when I was growing up, I never felt that safe. And although I was scared and I was so sad to see people going through pain and I was scared in that like, gosh, that was a loud noise. Like that kind of a thing. I've never been this at home with myself. And this time has taught me to be even more at home with the home that I inhabit and make it more my home. Like this internal little meat puppet suit we live in temporarily is our home, right? And so you want to make sure that you decorate the fuck out of it and you know, design it to your liking because we have to.
We have to.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. This is a great start to this because I think about, you know, of course we talk about ghosts and that kind of a thing here. And I think about this idea of we're meat suits. I mean, to me, I think that we're all spiritual beings and we're
having a human experience. Yes.
Yes. That whole thing.
Yes.
Is that how you feel?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, I'm probably, I don't know if I'm the one guest you've had on here like this, but I distinctly remember, getting the only slumber party that I ever got invited to as a child. And everybody wanted to talk about, ghost stories. And, I would keep trying to steer it to Casper because that was the only ghost that I've ever been particularly comfortable with, at all. I don't watch horror movies. I curate what comes into my body so closely because I can be so quickly dysregulated by anything that terrifies me. And I'm saying this fully aware, everyone, that if you don't know, and you don't have to know this, I play a computer analyst on a TV show that is probably the most violent show on network television. It's called Criminal Minds. It's about serial killers and we reference real life serial killers. So I've had to say, and I was on that show for 15 years and, and I can't tolerate watching or thinking about spooky stuff. So, I do believe that there are, well, I think two things. Number one, Eckhart Tolle, the guy who wrote The Power of Now, he talks about this idea of there being thought forms. Like every thought we've ever thought, every experience, it exists. It's like out there. And if your radio signal is tuned to it, you'll pick it up. So I sometimes think that like old versions of people that get stuck, like the maybe they're floating around.
Uh-huh.
And they get picked up. I also like to think because I do have my best friend transitioned to non-physical, which is the way I like to word it. I stole that from
okay.
I stole that from Abraham Hicks, if you don't know who that is.
Of course.
But my dear friend Michael transitioned to non-physical when I was, he was 24, so I think I was 22. And he and I had the honor of being there for much of the transition. And there was a lot of talk of like, okay, I'm going to visit you and we're going to make stuff together. And part of me was like, no, no, don't do that. I was like so freaked out. But like, I do think that spirit, I don't think that it's something we can understand. Have you read that book by Anita Mojarni? I'm saying her last name very wrong, but she wrote a book. She died and came back. And the way she described death, I think, was super interesting. I just think there are things we don't get. Like that I like to believe, because I actually did just have a friend that was older transition to non-physical about a month ago. And I like to believe there's no such thing as loss. I want to believe that the punchline isn't over once we leave here. And that maybe people that are, you know, caught on the drama triangle and super in their villainous self need to get their theater out, you know, after they've kicked it by, you know, doing creepy things. And I also believe, I absolutely believe that I interface with people that have passed on. I it's just how I have to get through the day. I feel the presence of, especially my friend Michael, like so often, and so many like little inside things and stuff that I can't deny that, but I also am I also really get freaked out about like, that's why I'm good when I talk about a ghost story, because I don't want it to be true. I just objectively know the facts. So when I tell you my thing, it's like, well, this is what happened. So there you go.
Yeah. See, when I started doing this podcast, I would ask the guests that would come on that were good friends of mine, I would ask them my final question, which was, will you come back and haunt me if you, what's the word, transition into the non-physical?
yes.
Before me. Mm-hmm. And then I started to be like, okay, this is weird, because like, I don't want them just to like pop up in the middle of the night one night. Yeah. Like that's creepy. But then I've realized from having other people pass that, that it doesn't necessarily manifest in that way. Sometimes it's a song comes on the radio when you need to hear it, or, you know, certain little signs you can get, you can choose to acknowledge.
Absolutely. And they're so normal that if you don't mark them, because they're so matter of fact, those are the ones that I think are so interesting, is the things that are so matter of fact. I remember one time I was walking out the door of my house to see my mom and my sister, and my dad died about 10 years ago. This is about 8 years ago. And I had a terrible, he was a kind of parent that you have to create a huge boundary because they have contracted you so much and done so much you can't be around them. I'm trying to parse out my words really well. So I have a much better relationship with him when he died. And I was relieved. And it's a very strange feeling when you don't, when you have a parent that you don't connect to and that you actually feel a great deal of relief and safety with them not being physically present on the planet. And I remember walking out the door, I was going to go have lunch with my mom and my sister. And behind my back, I heard this dinging noise, like someone had used a triangle. And I turned around in my bedroom and there's a big bookshelf. And I had taken all my rings off. I was doing a show the night before and I had all these rings. And one of the rings I was wearing, it was in the middle of the bookshelf. It was in the middle of the bookshelf and it flew up in the air and it landed in the, I was watching it. It had fallen and it was spinning in a circle like crazy. And it was my dad's wedding ring. And when I had turned around, I remember thinking like something to the effect of like this relief that I get to go have lunch with my mom and my sister and like, fuck that guy. I'm so glad he's not here. And that happened. I remember looking down at it and I said, okay, fine. And I picked it up and I wore it because I was like, I got it, man. Okay. But still fuck off. Like you don't get to be there, but I'll wear your fucking ring. And I remember making a recording of it because it was so normal, but so unusual.
Yeah.
You know? And if you don't note the magic in your life, I mean, I think this is about everything. I think that the non-physical and the things that we don't understand are always in concert with us. And if you note it, that pattern recognition comes up more. And why not do that? You know, even if it isn't, you know, even if you can explain it away, why not try to notice if something is trying to get to you, you know? And I always like to think that I'm energetically in a place. If I keep myself energetically at a good frequency, and that doesn't mean like super positive, it just means like grounded, authentic, you know, if I keep myself who like really that my inside is a match to what I'm expressing outside of me, then I'm vibrating in a place where all the cool kind of people and stuff that isn't physical can be in concert with me. So I'm going to assume that whatever's connecting with me is good stuff and wants to help. But I think we can always use those things. I mean, when I write, even I'm a playwright, and there has been more than once that I've been like, okay, I don't know how to do this myself. And it's not like I've channeled, but I don't know. Maybe it's not like I haven't. I certainly don't feel like I came up with that idea. So it's either a bunch of people, like a collective unconscious or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not that smart. So, I like to think that, you know, our insides are in our little ghost inside of our bodies likes to touch the ghosts that are hanging up in the sky before they go recycle themselves into different meat puppet suits. But maybe that's just me.
You're giving us so much wisdom today. This is a lot. It's amazing, though.
I've been thinking a lot. I've had a year, you know.
Yeah, I know. So have you too. Well, you know, some people might think that could be a past life thing too. You know, the channeling, you know, reaching deep into your
time is a myth. I think time. I actually wrote a play about this because I was so interested in it. Time, I think, happens at the same time. So time is not a line. They've proven that. So if it's not a line, then it's all happening right now.
Oh my God. Also, when you have a year of not doing anything, time is really messed up.
Expands and contracts in a different way. It does.
It's so weird. Well, I wanted to go back to an earlier thing that you had said about the spooky things that you consume and how that affects you. Because first of all, let me know if I get too spooky for you, because I don't want.
Well, we're good. It's daytime. I'll be okay. I'll breathe through it.
But yeah. Do you, from being on Criminal Minds for so long, do you have like this sense of, you know, how the sausage is made? And so it's not like when you see those things, it's not as scary, or is it still like, is it hard to watch those kinds of TV shows?
No, ma'am.
Really?
No, I don't. And I think that there are just people, I don't know the name for us people, but I know that there must not be just me. But there are television shows and things that I genuinely would like to watch. I can't, because they are not entertaining to me. I have co-written 4 episodes of Criminal Minds. I have watched, we did 325 episodes. I've watched maybe 10. Because, and I mean, I've even wanted to watch my friends on it or whatever. And someone's like, oh, I play a dead body. I want you to see me. And it's like, my imagination just doesn't do that, that thing. And it can be really, people can think that you're exaggerating or like make fun of you about it or try, and I've tried to do this. I've tried to kind of beat it out of me,
yeah.
You know, but it's like, I grew up with a lot of scary stuff. And so that, and it's not like I couldn't handle it, but it's like, you're talking to the girl who just saw Silence of the Lambs like 6 years ago. And I walked around for a good 2 weeks. I wanted to tell everybody, do you know Anthony Hopkins is still out there? Did you see at the end? He's still, did everyone see? Hey, I just wanted to go up to strangers at the market and be like, excuse me, have you seen Silence of the Lambs? Did you see that part where they did that? And I was actively on Criminal Minds at the time. And so I have to kind of watch that part of me because she can get a little fascinate or something. You know, I think that there's something about creating who you want to be when you were in a space where you couldn't be who you wanted to be because, I don't know, because of your life circumstances or whatever. And it's like, I don't need to, I it's not interesting to me to terrorize myself. I've been terrorized. I don't do it for entertainment. And some people need to do it to make theater out of it. And that's okay. Like, I'm not judging anybody. I'm just saying, for me, I'm the person who, like, I remember going on a date to Not Scary Farm. And I was raised in, I spent my teenage years in Orange County. And I had to spend the whole time, like when the monster jumps out at you, for those of you who don't know, Not Scary Farm is like this, they have these monsters that jump out and they're very elaborate. They have these elaborate spooky mazes. And I spent the whole time, and I've gone there now multiple times because friends will be like, oh, Kirsten, you'll be fine. They jump out and this is me. Hello, good sir. I like your makeup. Well done. Touche. You've got me this time. Like, I have to make jokes. I have to I have to completely break it. Now, having said that, I'm super witchy. Like, I'm all about I kind of run goth light generally. So it's like a weird juxtaposition. Like, I love spooky. Like, I am the house that if you drive by my house during Halloween, you will be delighted. Like, it's delightful. I have like full trees up, like full fake trees with faces and fog machines. But I also go spooky, not creepy.
I live in the spooky too. My home is all spooky things, but even though I talk to people about ghost stories all day, I have to have my boundaries because at nighttime, it can get scary when I start to hear these stories. And I'm somebody, like, the whole Not Scary Farm thing, whatever it is with me, I get, like, violent. Like, my first impulse is to defend myself if somebody jumps out at me.
Yeah, I was just reading about this. There's these people I love, Gay and Kathleen Hendricks. They have a site called The Foundation for Conscious Living. And they talk about fear, and there's fight, flight, freeze, faint, and flee. Those are the different kinds of how fear can manifest itself, depending upon who you are. So, like, for me, when I get super scared, I either go faint or freeze. I totally possum out. And it sounds like you go fight.
I guess so. See, that thing was so frustrating to me because my idol is Cassandra Peterson, Elvira, AKA.
And she does Pilates at the same place that I do.
Oh my God. Yeah. She was on this podcast. It was an iconic episode.
She's glorious.
She's the best. But she always did Not Scary Farm. And I never went because I can't deal with the people jumping out at me.
Ooh.
Mm-mm. And then she stopped doing it. Can I hear one of your ghost stories?
Oh, yes. They all kind of go in, but you stop me and start me as you wish. So I was raised, when I was a little girl, when I was about four, I was born in Pasadena, California. And when I was about four, both my parents are teachers, and they got jobs in the Central Valley of California, which is like your car. If you were here in Los Angeles and you were trying to drive to San Francisco, it would be like your car gets possessed and makes a left-hand turn and then tries to drive into the armpit of the Sierra Nevada mountains. And that's where I was raised. And I say it with all the love in my heart because I want it to be like a John Cougar Mellencamp song. Like I want... I want where that is to be like that. And it can be, and also can not be that because there was a lot of poverty and a lot of substance abuse because people aren't, you know, able to take care of themselves because there's not a lot of work and blah, blah, blah. Devin Nunes, if you're familiar with that particular politician, he is famous in America for supporting our previous president by lying and all kinds of nonsense, like very racist and xenophobic and all this stuff. He is the representative of the central of where I was raised. It is the red part of California.
Got it. Okay.
So there's these little towns around there. And one of the bigger towns is a town called Porterville. And that is where I spent most of my childhood. And Porterville is an old California town. When I was a little girl, we would go to this place called the Zalad House, which the Zalads lived in. And they didn't live in there anymore. It was just like a big old Victorian house. It was really one of the only beautiful houses in Porterville. We would go and, you know, it was like all this Victorian furniture and it was all like with ropes, you know, like partitioned off. So you could just walk through with little kids, like, and you'd go every year. So we all knew all the stories and it was really spooky. Even just that, you know what I mean? Like a Victorian place with velvet ropes and you sit there and you stare at everything and you imagine what it's going to be like at night. And I lived on this street that was pretty desolate off to one side. There was nothing but a field off to one side. And it was not a great street. My house burnt down soon after I moved away because the people who then lived there made it into a meth lab and it burnt down. The street I lived on, although I remember being like, oh, it was quaint. When I went and visited, there were no sidewalks and, you know, children are in the middle of the street wearing no clothes but a diaper. Like it was intense.
Wow.
And then you're like, oh yeah, this is it. Now it's a little tiny story. The first bit is a teeny tiny story and the second bit's just slightly longer. So I had a very tumultuous upbringing and my father moved out of the house. My parents didn't get a divorce, but he moved out and he would come back on the weekends. And my sister had friends. My sister had friends and she would go and be gone. And I didn't have friends who invited me over to their house. And so I was a very odd looking kid. And I think being queer in any way and not being good at suppressing it can make your life, especially when you don't know what it is, can make your life really tumultuous and strange when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. And I did not know the words for, you know, or know how to handle, like, I'm a, you know, bisexual who leans towards girls. Like, I don't know what that is, but you're enacting this behavior. And then on top of the fact of like this family stuff. So, my mom, who was doing her very best, we had gotten into some sort of thing. And at night I would get so terrified. I would just get these night terrors every single night. And this is the part of this story where you realize that Kirsten has a landline and you're like,
I thought I heard one.
Who has a landline? Like,
oh, I love that though.
Is Kirsten a ghost? Because why would there be a landline? And also, why doesn't she turn it off? Because she's in a little pod of thing and she can't reach. So it's done. Okay. Anyway, so
I love that, though. That's the first landline we've ever had interrupt.
Oh, you're welcome. See, it's good. I'm doing old-timey. My mom insisted, like, it's one of my mom's rules. Like, I have to have a landline. You're like, why? She's like, because earthquakes. And I don't know what that means, but I love her, so I'm going to do what she says. I would get these night terrors. And my mom was really trying her best and couldn't really face all the stuff that was going on at the time. So she just couldn't handle it. So I would get these night terrors, and my sister wasn't at home this one particular night, and I hated being in my room by myself, both because of what I would do with my own imagination and because of what would actually happen. Like, and so me and my sister would try to do haunted houses in the house and in our bedroom. Because for entertainment, because we didn't really have anything. So you just play like Night on Bald Mountain on repeat from Fantasia and then like try to build like sheet forts and stuff. And
cute.
So, yeah. But like, and that's about as scary as I could go. So we would do spooky things in the very room in which I slept, but not super spooky because, again, I get freaked out. But when I would go to bed and I would have these night terrors, and by night terrors, I mean I just wouldn't sleep all night, that were well founded, but. What are you going to do? I would hear this tapping on my, on the window, and the window, of my bedroom was the very front of our house. We lived in this dilapidated, house that was like built in the, probably like the 40s. And it was kind of like a craftsman. So it had these big old, paned windows on the front. And so my bedroom was, there was this window, and I would hear this tapping and
on the first floor.
Yeah. It was only a one floor house. Uh-huh. And it was, like I said, like, and this is, I was in like seventh grade, and when I was in seventh grade, I would get beat up all the time. I looked like a boy, and by beat up, I didn't get beat up. In seventh grade, there was something that was called being trash canned, and that's where they put you in a trash can. You sort of band together with other, you know, at this time it was of three other girls that also got beat up. You're not really friends, but you're just kind of like, you stay together in a pod as often as possible.
Totally.
And now my garage is making a noise. Okay, I'm back. So I would have these weird things happen in real life because I was negotiating a lot of stuff and hormones and school and all this. So I would hear things in my head. I was full bananas in seventh grade. And I can call myself that because it's me. So I'm allowed to call myself bananas. And like I would count, I was doing a lot of like, I've got to count to seven every time I do this. And I just all kinds of things that I'm not going to bore you with, but when you're hearing tapping on the window and you're already doing all this other weird stuff, and you're doing all this weird stuff because, again, no one's like, oh, this kid is this, all this other stressful things happen to kids all the time. Primary caregivers are figuring out their lives and how to manage stress. And then you have these children that they've decided to have that are literally getting bathed in this wash of the way that their parents have been taught to handle stress. And my parents weren't good at that, especially my dad. And so I was really weird. So I would hear this tapping noise, and everything was my imagination. So everything I saw was my imagination. It was always just Kirsten's histrionic and Kirsten's whatever. And this one night, my mom said, like, she just got like fed up with me being afraid, because I would kind of tiptoe in, it was my bedtime, and I'd keep kind of going in to like try to sleep on the floor in the hallway and by her bedroom, and my sister wasn't there, my dad wasn't there, and she was like, go in there. And she like yelled at me, and I get back into bed because I had already gotten out twice because of this tap, 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 tap. And then I went back in, and then I go back in my bedroom, and it's tapping like consistently. And I'm like, I can't go back into her room, because if I do, I'm going to like lose, you know, we had hit the, like, you lose, you know, 2 weeks of phone privileges, and you can't, we had hit a consequence was going to happen if I did it again kind of situation. And this tapping just starts going. And my head is by the window and I can feel the window like moving. And all of a sudden, I just like close my eyes. I'm like, I'm just going to ignore it. It's my imagination. And the second I say it's my imagination, it's like someone took their fist and hit the window. And it's like, boom, boom, like right in my ear. And I jump out of bed and I run down the hallway and I tell my mom and I lose everything. But at that moment, I don't care. Like, yeah. Do it. I'm not. And to the point that my mom believed me enough, she was like, you're in so much trouble. You lost all of this. I was still in trouble, but she very angrily, I remember she, and it's, my mom is lovely. And at the time going through so much, you know, it's hard being a single, not single mom. And you got this narcissist guy. So I want to give her a lot of compassion and just say like, she was in a state. But you know, she's doing the best. I remember her angrily taking these two giant, you know, pans, like these old Italian, you know, cast iron things and like banging them together and outside. And but there was nothing out there. There was nothing out there. And,
so she was brave and she went out to get the boogeyman.
Well, yeah. Cause she knew that there was anything out there. And like, it was within seconds that she went out there. There was nothing there. And then when I went back to bed, I put myself to bed with like this. I mean, it was awful. Like, it didn't bang like that anymore, but the tapping, and it was so annoyingly inconsistent in that it seemed to be moving with how I was thinking, if that makes sense. Like, I would finally calm down and then it would be like ding ding ding, ding, and I would be like, oh fuck, and then it would kind of stop. But and then it faded out, because it used to happen, but the only one time did the big bang thing happen with what sounded like a fist. Now that was in seventh grade.
And now, sorry.
No, go ahead. No, please.
Well, I was wondering if you had like an explanation for what this was, but is that what you were?
Well, I'm kind of, it's not an explanation so much as a validation of sorts or something.
Okay.
So seventh grade, like if I showed you a picture of myself from seventh grade, you would be like, who? Like, where's Kirsten in that picture? Because I was so covered with life and stuff like that. So flash forward to, you know, we move out of Porterville. I put myself into therapy at 14. I start threatening emancipation and stuff like that just to try to create space between me and my father, like all this stuff, right? Once we moved to Orange County, I decided I want to be an actor, but I know I'm not going to be able to do it for a living, right? Blah, blah, blah. So I just get a day job and I just do theater, you know, forever. I get fancy day job. I get Criminal Minds. I start being able to do things at the same time. She has a landline. I don't know why it's ringing and I'm embarrassed.
Earthquakes.
I'm embarrassed. I don't know what to do. It's across,
it's across charming.
The room.
I love it.
Okay. All right. This is where you radically self-forgive yourself for things. Okay. Here we are. We're back. I got scared and then I just belched because I got scared. That was a fear belch that just happened. So flash forward, you know, here we are. And so 2 years ago now? Yeah, 2 years ago. I have this show that I wrote that I've done multiple times in here in LA. I took it to Alabama because I wanted to see if I took it to Alabama after Trump became president, because it's all about how we create the world outside of us through the world inside of us. And I thought, will this resonate in a part of the country that is different than here? And so I took it all over these different places. And it's spooky. It's kind of spooky. It's about my growing up, and it's about negative self-talk and how I kind of created, how I was co-creating, and about time happening at the same time. So it's all about all these different things. And speaking of spooky things, the spooky, spooky writer, Neil Gaiman, actually said that my play, Mess, is his favorite one-person show. It's just that spooky. And I took it to Edinburgh and all this stuff. So about 2 years ago, I thought, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool if I took it to Porterville? There's a theater there called the Barn Theater. And wouldn't it be neat if I took it there? So I asked a bunch of my friends. I was like, I want to film this. And I hired like three or four of my friends that didn't have a job right then, but I knew were good at certain things. Like, okay, that friend is really good at camera work. And that guy really. So we all got to, you know, we all caravaned to Porterville. And I'm going to do this show, Mess. And we're going to do it at the Barn Theater. And the Barn Theater is legitimately an old barn that has been there forever that they've just sort of added things onto and made it into a theater. And it has some notable people that have acted on it, including me and Alice from the Brady Bunch.
What's her name? Ambie Davis?
Ambie Davis is from Porterville.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And she did theater there. And there's a, so when I get there, it's really strange because when I lived in Porterville, everybody kind of treated me like I was invisible or they were going to put me in a trash can. And then you come there and you've got this thing, you know, they've seen you on television. They treat you totally differently and go into the lobby with my, you know, friends and people are taking me across the room and like, oh, look, there's your dad. They have a picture of my dad. Cause my dad was an opera singer and stuff and did community theater there. So there's a picture of my dad in the lobby playing Nanky Poo in the Mikado, which is just as racist as you can imagine because it's a white man trying to not look like a white man. It's very disturbing. Okay. And at the time we were there, they were doing the musical Mulan, and it was disturbing. like, and me and my friends show up, we're like this band of weirdos, like, in the best way. But so we show up and, I'm doing the show. I'm going to do it for 3 days there. And it's so hot in Porterville, like, cause it's the summertime. They have a swamp cooler on the stage. It's so oppressively hot. And there is a green room in the back. And they said, oh, you haven't been here in a long time, but you remember the green room. And I had never really been. One time when I was in seventh grade, I was in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. And I was the girl with the naturally curly hair. And I'd been there for a second, but I don't totally remember. But apparently, it sounds so bizarre, but I think that this is true. There was a restaurant in Porterville that was like old restaurant. And they moved it. They picked it up. And they drove it to the Barn Theater and they attached it to the Barn Theater. And that became the Barn Theater Green Room. And so it's like a building. It's not a big building. It's a room attached to the rest of the theater. It's kind of hard to explain unless okay. You were actually there seeing it. But so we're doing the show, but everybody, we always go into this room all the time because it's so hot while we're there. Like I said, it was a couple of years ago. It's freezing cold in this room. This room is never not freezing cold. It's like the air conditioner only works in this one place. And it works so good in there that you almost want to put on a sweater. And so we're there one night and I'm showing my friends like, this is where I'm from. And we go get a hamburger. And I get a vegetarian hamburger. And while we're eating it, the guy who works there goes, hey, I heard you lived over there by... And he, you know, Mountain View. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, whoa, you grew up rough. And I felt so validated. and so the last day we're there, my friend Stacy, who's stage managing it, is there. And my friend Derek, who's doing the camera, and my other friend Steven, who's running the other camera. And I'm doing two shows that day. So I've already done one. And I love taking like a 10-minute nap. I'm like, I'm amazing at these. It's like a robot power down and I'm out. So I'm sitting in this lazy boy in this green room. It looks exactly like every community theater green room you've ever seen. And I've done a lot of theater in community theater.
I missed that.
But you know what I mean? It's got like three random chairs. Each one has a story, you know, from someone's house. And then they've tried to, you know, they've succeeded in making like a, kind of like a dressing room table with the, you know, the marquee lights around it. And I am going to take a nap. And there's a light switch to this room, and it's really tricky. And it's tricky. You got to figure out how to turn it off because you got to push it in and turn it off. And we turn it off when we do the show. So I've turned it on and off a couple of times, you know, since I've been there, and we're only there for a few days. So I'm taking my little 10-minute nap, and I'm kind of laying there, and everybody's kind of wandering around getting ready for the show, and I'm going to take a nap. And I pull up the thing. Oh, and the night before, I was going to say this, the night before, the people who were running the theater, we all go walking around, and we walk by the Zalad House. And when we walk by the Zalad House, which is that old house I used to look out when I was a kid, and it's completely pitch dark, and the girl says, she's like, "You don't even want to look in the windows at night because it's so haunted." I was like, "Really?" And she's like, "The whole town is haunted." I was like, "It is." I felt like so, like, yeah, huh? And then when we were at the theater, I'd also forgotten this to tell you. It said, and I did not witness this, but one of the women who worked there had said, "Oh, I can't tell you, more than once, people will come to me after intermission and say, there is someone behind me and they're moving around and they're doing all this stuff." And she's like, "And there's no one there." And it's always in the same parts of the theater. And she had mentioned that too. And I was like, huh. And the back of this, the backstage of the Barn Theater is so cavernous. It's an old barn. It's huge. I don't know how to, explain it unless you were there. And I, before shows, I would wander around. I only did like four shows, but I would wander around and be like, "If there's a ghost back here, I'm totally cool, but could you just be cool with me? Like, I'm trying to be very respectful." And I brought all my bells and whistles. I was like Palo Santoing that bitch. I was like,
"Oh, so you were ready, are all into that."
Oh yes, my friend. Girl, I was like ringing bells. I was like the whole, that part of the Haunted Mansion with the tambourine and shit. I was like that, but like the my version of the ghost story is how to not get the ghost to come in. But I was like, I just want it, if there's something, because it felt very heavy with memory. But Porterville feels like that to me because I have a lot of heavy memories. It's almost like I wouldn't be surprised if past versions of Kirsten would show up in places to haunt me for being a dick to them at that time or something. Like, I wouldn't be surprised. So I'm taking this
sounds
nap.
Like a movie, going back to your hometown. P.S. As you're telling the story, I'm looking at PortervilleBarnTheater.com.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking
there
at,
it is.
Oh,
see?
Wow. Okay.
I'm not making it up. So I go to take my nap. And I can hear everyone. And, you know, it's this really, I love it when you just tell a story and you can feel it go full circle. Because when I was a little girl, like I said, I couldn't sleep. I didn't sleep until I through the night until I was 17. And I moved in to my friend James's house and slept at his house. That's when I started to actually sleep through a night. And even then with night terrors. And by this time, 2 years ago, I was at a place in my life where I can sleep, like I feel relatively safe enough. And I was all, and by the way, I don't want anyone to think, this is just a side note, I don't want anyone to who's listening to this to be like, "Oh, Kirsten's had it so," if you're thinking this, "Kirsten's had it so bad. I didn't have it that bad and I feel like crap too." You don't know how bad I did or didn't have it. And you don't, I have a very sensitive system. And you know, we all have our bag of rocks and things happen to us. And I am always very sensitive about like saying stuff because I don't want anyone to ever think that like just because someone's had like trauma, it doesn't mean that like we should, like everybody has it. Like, don't specialize it. Am I making sense?
Yeah, totally. And okay. I don't think it's helpful to compare people's experiences to each other.
No, because the prom queen will cry if she does not get the pony. She will cry.
Right.
And her tears are just as important as everybody else's. I know we want to believe that, you know, the other tears are more valuable or something like that, but they're not. Like, you can, you know, there's room for all the experiences. And all the experiences can be alchemized into beautiful things. So anyway, here I am laying on this thing, like reveling in this beauty of like, oh my gosh, I'm laying on this chair in this place that used to scare me, and everybody's okay. And like, look at me, like I got to come back here and make some theater, like, and my friends are here and I can hear my friends moving around. Everybody's kind of getting ready. And there was like going to be like a lunch break or something. So they were all kind of like heading out. And I hear, I know that there's three people in the room. So I hear one person leave and then I hear Derek talking and I hear Derek leave. And then it's silent. And so I'm just in the room by myself. And about 2 minutes goes by and I'm like all cuddled up. I'm very awake. I can hear the air conditioner. It's cold. I was awake. I was wide awake for this. My eyes were closed, but I was wide awake and knew who was in the room and who was not in the room. I understand passage of time and all of that. So that's why this is like so clearly real. I remember being like the lights on and I'm kind of moving my head around and trying to take my hair and put my hair over my eye and create a hair face mask. and so I'm kind of getting snuggled up on the couch and I'm making this move. And as I make this move, I hear the switch do that little weird, like clicky thing that you have to do to make it turn off. And then the lights turn off. Stacy, the stage manager, came in and turned the lights off. I thought that was super great because, you know, me as the performing artist who had actually pee the fuck ass the show right before that in the afternoon, got heat stroke and had to go to the emergency room. Which I used to do almost every summer in Porterville is get heat stroke just for standing. Not emergency room, like, you know, where you have to go to urgent care.
Sure.
So I had to go get urgent care and get like Gatorade and take Advil. So I was tired, you know, whatever. So I'm all bundled up, taking my little nap. And, you know, my little period of time goes by and I open my eyes and the lights were off and I, you know, go back over, do the little difficult, you know, thing that I've kind of figured out to turn the light back on. And now I'm getting ready. I have about 45 more minutes for the show. I'm getting ready and whatever. I see Stacy. I'm like, I saw what you did there. Thanks for turning off the light. And she goes, huh? And I said, you turned the light off in the thing. She goes, I didn't turn the light off. No, you did because Derek and Steven left and you must have come back in a couple minutes after because, no, I haven't been in there. No, you turned the light off. She's like, no, because I went in my car and she had like a whole thing. So now I'm like, no, because it was so obvious that there was no one in the room with me and that the lights had turned off that like, it was impossible. It was like impossible. So then I'm going around to everybody like, Derek, you came back in. What are you talking about? You came back into the room just now. You came back in. I took a nap and you turned the light off. He's like, no, I didn't. Steven, did you? I'm going around to everybody.
Oh,
and then
God.
I tell the woman in the lobby, I'm like, did anybody go back there? And they're like, no, we've made sure no one's gone back there, blah, blah, blah. Cause then they thought that I was being like prima donna actress. Like, did somebody, I was like, no, it's just the light turned off. And then when I said the light turned off, they were like, oh yeah. Just like, mm-hmm.
Were they like, that's the light turn off ghost?
They were just very like, not surprised at all. And there's no way, it was silent. Like there was, you know how loud a backstage of a theater is? Like you hear when people are walking around, like
totally.
It's not. So it was, and it's one of those things where like, if I tell you it's so simple and you can go like, well, no, well, I was there and it's not that simple. Like you be me and be there and be like, there's the light turned itself off. I don't know how it happened, but you're talking to the girl who had been walking around for 2 days going, okay, if you're a ghost, you can come, but participate, like be cool. Like,
yeah.
And then when that happened, once I realized like, oh, that really happened. And I don't care if it happened because a very strong wind that was just happening in the area where that light switch was pushed the light switch down. I don't care. That's not what happened. But
yeah.
What I love is that I was conscious of, okay, whatever's here that I can feel, you can be here. Just participate with us and don't scare me because I don't want to be scared. And I do feel like that is something, even if you think you believe in stuff like this, like, I do think it's important to like communicate and be like, please don't be a dick to me. Like,
yeah.
Cause sometimes when you're translating through just your consciousness, you think you're saying, I'm afraid. But like, I think that maybe they're picking up on like, oh, you want to be afraid? Oh, watch this. Like,
yeah, definitely.
I didn't want that. And I remember doing the show that night. And the show is all about like sort of the unseen and all this different stuff. And I really felt that energy, you know, and it was a great show. And it really boils down to like, all I know is I know my internal experience, and I know the experience that the audience had that night with that particular show. And the, you know, so what if I was in concert with all that stuff? Because that really was what happened. Like if you put me on a polygraph test, it doesn't sound like much, like the light turned off, but it was a big deal to me. That's about as strong of a ghost story as I can do. And I feel like I transmuted the ghost experience I had as a child into one where I sort of reflected back to it how I wanted to be treated. See, you have to tell ghosts how you demand to be treated, not just humans.
I believe in that too. Absolutely. And verbally. I think about constantly, because we talk about haunted theaters and stuff on the show often, and I always think about like, if I was to have one of these experiences and then go on stage, my brain would be so distracted or whatever. But I was so lit up because
as an artist, any artist, and when I say artist, I mean someone who makes soup. I don't care. We are an empty, the job is to be as empty on the inside, I think, as possible, and to let whatever is going to feel, whatever needs to speak through us. And so that's what I mean, and I've been in so many old theaters now. Like I do these things called selected shorts where we get to travel all over the country and read short stories. So I've been to old theaters all over the country and you can feel it. And it is, that's where I'm going to haunt, for fuck's sake. If I'm going to go to all the theaters.
Hell yeah.
All of them.
Well, and sound stages. I mean, really, a lot of places that actors are. I'm on weirdfresno.com, and they're talking about where I get most of my news. They're talking about the Barn Theater here. It was founded in 1948, 1952, a new addition was added. Okay, I'm just not too...
That's the new addition is the one in 1952, I'm pretty sure.
I know, this is all very, not that I'm trying to fact check you, but this is...
No, but you should.
The theater has had many an actor come through its doors over the years, including Anne B. Davis. It seems that not all have left, as several strange occurrences have been reported throughout the years. People have reported feeling an audience in the room, even though the theater was empty. It's very similar to what you just said.
I know. And my assistant, actually, she's very, like, very aware of energy and stuff like that. And she had mentioned after the woman said it, and she was like, can definitely feel it. And it's one of those things of, like, you know, people who are sensitive to energy, and I'm one of those people. You know, I do the same thing with myself. When she was like, I can definitely feel it, my brain's going, oh, sure you can. But I do the same thing to myself. Like, I do that too. So
yeah.
I get it. But no, you definitely can.
It says, according to the Porterville Ghost Society, which I guess there is, it says...
Because it's haunted.
sounds like they have a lot of places to ghost hunt. Others have reported hearing clapping and laughter, as well as seeing shadowy figures. Well, we have a new story we can add to weirdfresno.com.
I should write them, huh? I didn't think about it. Yeah.
This is amazing. Well, it also says on here, an evil gnome-like creature terrorizes a farmhouse in Porterville. What? Okay, now
when
I'm
I was
very
a kid,
fascinated.
No, when I was a kid... there was a girl I knew, and she lived in, you know, and it's economically very repressed and always has been there. So there's a lot of like sorrow and stuff, mm-hmm. but there was this old slaughterhouse. And, I remember one time we went into it and it was just as terrible. And I mean, old slaughterhouse, which is like this big barn with like slats through the, you know, the sun is coming through. And had one old refrigerator in it. And if you opened it, there was just a giant cow's head that was decaying and had been forever. And, you know, that's when you haunt yourself. That's yes. just self-haunting.
Well, can I play some ghost voices for you?
Sure.
Okay, it's time for
EVPs
or EVPs.
Have you ever heard the term EVP?
EVP. Like an evil, very important person.
Yeah, it's like an MVP, but for villains.
No, yeah,
it's
yeah. I like it.
Electronic voice phenomenon. So it's like when ghost hunters, like the Porterville Ghost Society, shout out. It's when they capture an audio recording of what they believe to be a ghost. So what I do is I go to YouTube and I find EVPs and I have my guests listen to them, and then you can tell me what you hear, if you hear anything, and then I'll give you some options, and one of them is going to be what they believe it said.
Okay. I'm scared. Okay, go ahead.
So I went to Pasadena, and I don't know why I was drawn to Pasadena. I guess I for some reason was thinking that you were from Pasadena.
I was born in Pasadena.
Oh, okay. Yes, you did say that. But for some reason, I was like, we're going to do Pasadena today. And I found this great YouTube channel that's just called Pasadena Paranormal. And they have, which I resist saying like, oh, that's a super haunted place, because I feel like most places are.
Well, it's an old town and it's got so much beauty and history.
Oh, Pasadena is so haunted though. Yes. So this, it didn't really say where. It seems like this is an investigation they did in a house of some sort, but tell me what you hear this ghost saying. Okay, this has been edited, so it sounds a little robotic, but tune in here, see if you can hear anything.
Okay, it sounds like he's saying, get out of here.
Yeah, that's a great guess. Let me play it again. Totally. Get out of here.
Or there's no one here.
Yeah.
Something here.
Well, I have some options.
Okay.
Is it A, do you want a beer? B, what do you fear? C, come up here? Or D, are you queer? I'll play it again.
Can you play it again?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like a human would want him to be saying, what do you fear? But I really think that he's saying, do you want a beer?
Oh my God. To me, that's what it sounds like. Do you want a beer? They believe it's come up here. But I also hear here as well. Wait, let me play it again. I hear get out of here, or do you want a beer? But either way.
Oh, come up here.
Come up here. That works.
Yeah.
I'll give it to him. Okay, here's one more. This is from the same channel. Also not sure where, but someplace in Pasadena. This ghost is saying this. It's like two different sentences. Here we go. It's definitely a different sounding voice.
Play it again.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, I can't even get that.
I know, it's a little hard. I can give you some options.
Okay, give me some options.
Is it A, sashay away, girlfriend? B, stay away, go back? C, step aside, I'm mad? Or D, you stain my dress, you're dead?
Okay, play it again. I want it to be sashay away, girlfriend, but they would have to have.
I do too.
Kicked it early.
Sashay away, girlfriend.
Play it again.
I truly hear, you stain my dress, you're dead.
Now I can't hear it because the ghost landline. I'm just going to say that I have a ghost and it rings my phone. It is true, because usually when I pick up the phone, no one's there. So
God, I miss landlines. I was just watching Columbo last night and they had a landline and it made me.
So what is it?
Okay, they believe it's saying, stay away, go back. Okay, now that we know that, let's hear it. I hear that.
Oh, I did hear that. Yeah.
Stay away, go back. Okay, let's do one more thing real quick.
If there are any ghosts listening to this podcast, can we just ask you from now on, just get real close to whatever recording device.
Exactly. We want to know.
And enunciate. Do some red leather, yellow leather, or unique New York.
Exactly.
Like you say that thing. That will help us all.
Projection, all of it.
Paranormal mumble mouth isn't helping anyone.
Paranormal mumble mouth. That's we got to do something with that. You've given me a lot to think about. I so appreciate you doing this and taking your time. I think that's about it. I think we should end it here. You've been so generous with your time. And honestly, I think that we could make this a two-parter because we talked about it's dense with knowledge and wisdom and ghosts.
Part of me was like, okay, as I'm telling my ghost story, I'm like, is this ghost story stupid? I'm like, but it's mine. It's the one that happened to me. So it's just what happened. So I'm just reporting the facts.
Yeah. No, I love this ghost story. Okay. Well, thank you. Can you tell people, you know, like where to find you, your videos? I love.
I am on Instagram. I am Kirsten Vangsness. It's the one with the blue check by it. And the one that's spelled just as strangely as you'd imagine. And then on Twitter, I'm at Vangsness. And I have a website, which is KirstenVangsness.com. And I do a show on YouTube called Kirsten's Agenda. And that's where you can find me.
Thank you so much to Kirsten. She's just so cool. Oh, I love that. That was a fun conversation. And if you want to hear a little bit more, go to patreon.com/RozDressfulness on my second tier to hear Kirsten's thoughts on various paranormal topics in rapid fire. And you can also see on my first tier my video of me talking about eBay dolls that are allegedly haunted. As always, you can find me on Cameo, cameo.com/RozDressfulness. I am on Instagram at RozHernandez. Please give this show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and I would love to hear your ghost stories either in a review, a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You could also just leave a nice review or not say anything. Just give us 5 stars. I'll take it. Sure, why not? Also, if you want to be on a listener episode, send me an email at ghostedbyroz@gmail.com. And you can put in the subject line listener episode and give me a couple little details about the kinds of ghost stories that you might want to tell, and we can maybe work something out. We also have a Facebook group called Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles. I have merch that you can find in the link in my Instagram bio. And please be subscribed to this show, because I will be back here next week with one of my favorite TV psychics / occult experts. I have got Michelle Belanger, who is so fucking rad. We had a great that. Now that conversation will be a two-parter. We talked for a minute and it was so cool. And Michelle, if you don't know Michelle, you can see her on Portals to Hell, one of my favorites, on Travel Channel and Discovery Plus. And also, you could see Michelle on Paranormal State. She's done a handful of paranormal TV shows, but just a wealth of knowledge. And we talk about demons and psychic abilities and all kinds of things. So tune in for that next week and the week after that. I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.